Well, it's a privilege for Judy and I to be with you here tonight. We love Re-Engage, and what we want to talk to you about tonight is our story and the glue that's held our marriage together for over 60 years. There's a... thank you. That is a long time. And there's a verse in Colossians 1:17 that says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And that's a verse that's talking about Jesus. And it says that He is the glue that holds the universe and everything in the universe together. And He is the one who is holding all of our marriages together. Not long after we were married, we bought a used Volkswagen Beetle, and I drove it to work for a number of years. And when it got well over 100,000 miles, I used to pray this verse, Colossians 1:17, every morning. When I got in my car, I said, God, will you hold my car together for another day? Well, one day, as I was exiting the freeway, there was a tremendous jolt, and my car crashed into the pavement. And I got out of my car to find that my left rear wheel was missing, and it was nowhere in sight. And a couple of fellows, fellow workers, stopped to help me, and one stayed to look because we couldn't find that tire anywhere, while the other one went on to our meeting. And finally, we gave up and went to the meeting. We left the car by the side of the road. And when I got to the meeting, I entered, and the president asked me, he said, Jim, I heard that you lost your tire on the way to work. And I said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, are you sure you had it when you left home? And I said, well, I think so. Well, after that meeting, one of the guys took me back to my car, and we found my wheel in the back seat. And there was a note on it saying, I saw your car on the access road, and we found your wheel about a half mile down the highway. Well, I thank God for the many years and the miles that I'd driven my Volkswagen, but I thought it was time to buy a new car. Well, wheels don't just come off of cars, they also come off of marriages, and we've had a lot of wheels come off of our marriage during the 60 years that we've been married. And that's what we want to talk to you about this evening, what you do when the wheels come off in your marriage. And in God's economy, you don't get rid of a husband or wife like I did my car and get a new one, because Scripture says that when we marry, we become one flesh, not meant to be separated or torn apart. And Judy and I have found that regardless of our marriage problems, and there's been a lot of them, there is nothing too big or impossible for God to handle. He truly is the one. He is the glue that holds everything together. And He's the one that can glue things back together when our marriage wheels come off. But there's a starting point, and that you've both got to know God. And Amos 3:3 says, it asks a question. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And the answer to that is no. Both of you, husband and wife, need to be on the same page spiritually. We had very different spiritual backgrounds growing up because my story didn't include Christ. We had wheels coming off our marriage very early on.
But this is how I came to know the one who holds everything together. Billy Graham, in 1951, made his first film about a dying cowboy on his deathbed, whom he told about Jesus. It was a black and white film, and in his autobiography, he says it was a terrible film, and that he was very embarrassed about the poor quality of that film. I was 7 years old, And the downtown big First Baptist Church in our town was going to host a showing of that film. My mother took me to see the film. We sat way, way up in the balcony in what was to me a very beautiful, big, big, big church. I was very engaged with the story on the screen, but by the end of it, I was troubled by it. I can remember to this day standing in the bathroom that night, undoing my pigtails and looking into the mirror and knowing so clearly that I was just like the cowboy in the film. I was separated from Jesus because of my sin. Troubled, I went to bed, but the next morning, before my mother left for work, I said I wanted to be like the cowboy in the film. I wanted to know Jesus and have him in my life. So that evening, she called the pastor of our little neighborhood church, and he came to our house that evening. Pastors made house calls in those days. He sat down on the couch beside me, and he showed me in the Bible how I could know Jesus. Pastors did make those calls in those days. And he knelt down in front of the couch, and I knelt down too. And I asked Jesus to come into my life and forgive my sin. My dad worked a night shift, and every night I would leave him a note, and I would ask him to leave me lunch money for the next day at school. That night, I left him a note asking him to leave me 25 cents for lunch, and I added the sentence, "I ask Jesus into my life tonight." My dad never said a word to me about that note, but when he died, that note was in his lockbox, and I have it. And I misspelled Jesus when I was writing it. I was not, nor am I now, a good speller. For me, that began a journey of following Jesus to now, 72 years later. It has been a growing process. I struggled as a little girl with a lot of fear, and as I grew older, that translated into a lot of worrying and being anxious. But by God's grace, He has patiently been conforming me to the image of Christ, and with His help and believers around me, I have been learning to release myself to His plans. You might ask, how did I marry James when he wasn't a Christian?
How about good looking?
That was true, too. Well, he said he was a Christian, and I was in love, and he promised my daddy that we would be involved in a church and that he would be the spiritual leader in the home. And I think, as I look back, that lasted about 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Well, that promise to her dad was very short-lived. As I mentioned, when we got married in 1963, we were definitely not on the same page spiritually. I had no clue of what God meant marriage to be. I was committed to what I wanted, and I was not committed to our marriage, which resulted in the first years of our marriage not going well. I knew about Christ, but I did not have a personal relationship with Him. I was a deceiver and not a believer. The number one priority in my life was not God or even Judy, but it was totally me. I was obsessed with myself, my career, and getting my way. And to make things worse, my fits of anger were the continual source of many conflicts in our marriage. Like the time that I was dozing in front of the TV and Judy asked me to open a jar of pimentos, angered by the fact that she woke me up and I couldn't get the jar open, I just threw them against the wall. And with glass and pimentos running down the wall, I said, "There you go, they're open." Well, that's not the best way to open a jar or to build a lasting relationship. Or the time that I was returning to our apartment from the laundromat, and to find someone parked in my designated parking spot. Thinking that I would show them, I backed up my car and put it into low gear, and I rammed them from behind, only to have their rear bumper raise over my front bumper, breaking out my headlights and bashing in my grill, then blaming my wife for sending me to pick up the laundry was not a good response or a good way to build up our marriage. And I am quite sure that we would have been divorced many years ago had I not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in 1970. And that was 7 years into our marriage. Sitting in the car one night waiting for Judy, I was reading a little booklet a guy gave me called Connecting with God, reading Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God prompted me and convicted me to acknowledge that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And that very night in the car, I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, to come into my life and to change me and make me the man that He wanted me to be. After that prayer, God began to give me a hunger for His Word. And for the first time in my life, I began to relate to other Christians and really enjoy being around them. And while I still struggle, even today, with anger and self-centeredness and wanting to be in control, God continues to work on me through His Word and through His Spirit and through the body of Christ. And we call that around here community. And after that prayer, God began to... After that encounter with God, Judy and I were now both on the same page spiritually, and we're both walking in the same direction. We both now had God, the chief marriage mechanic, to help us keep the wheels on our marriage. And if you're here tonight and you're both not headed in the same spiritual direction, we've been praying for a couple of weeks that before you'd go to sleep tonight, that you would consider the claims of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a little booklet they're going to hand out to you on the way out, is this Connecting with God booklet. And we had asked you just to read that together and see if you agree with what it says. Because both of you having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the starting point toward a great and fulfilling marriage. And we guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
For your marriage to really be great and fulfilling, you need to go to the one who holds everything together. And that is called prayer. And you both need to go to him in prayer together. Praying together may be the single most important spiritual discipline you and your wife will ever share. That is a quote from Dennis and Barbara Rainey in their book, Two Hearts Praying as One. And we have found that to be true. Praying together has improved every aspect of our marriage and our intimacy with each other. We know you have hard situations in your lives and your marriage. We know that because we have plenty of them ourselves. While these struggles seem impossible to overcome by ourselves, but as followers of Christ, we know the one who can change them. And so keep this prayer principle. It's Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. Mm-hmm. Just let that be something you really keep on your heart and mind. When we started to pray together, we found it very awkward. So just agree to start knowing that it will be awkward and it will be uncomfortable to begin with. You could pick up the Dennis Rainey book, Two Hearts Praying as One, and it would carry you through 30 days of praying together. It begins with a week of just reading prayers from the book to each other and graduates to giving a topic where you write your own prayer and read it to each other. It's a helpful tool to start praying together. So that was our start. But now we pray together in the morning, we pray at night, we pray while we walk, we pray by phone, we pray by email, we even just pray at red lights. Over the years, God has allowed us to love praying together. We make a part of our praying together as a couple praying scripture. When we pray scripture, we are praying God's will for our life. It moves us from our agenda to God's agenda. When we pray scripture, we're asking God for the strategies that are His will and way for our marriage. Scripture tells us in 1 John 5:14, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." For me, praying scripture for James, I prayed for the character qualities that God lists in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 that He desires for a mature man in the Lord. If I ask you wives to make a list of 10 things you would like to change in your husband, you will have no trouble coming up with 10 very quickly. I listed my 10, and then I put them in an envelope, and I sealed it, and I asked God to help me pray for His list and not for mine. I would take one of those qualities and meditate on it and pray it for James, and ask God to change in me what is needed to be changed for God to work in James's life for that quality. The qualities in 1 Timothy and Titus have great verses to pray for your husbands. Father, may James's life be above reproach. May he be faithful to me. May he exercise self-control, have a good reputation, enjoy having guests in our home. May he be able to teach and not be a heavy drinker or be violent. Lord, help him to be gentle, not quarrelsome, not love money, and manage our family well. Another tool we have used in prayer is 5-second prayers, where we stop in the morning and pray together a 5-second prayer, and it becomes the thought that we focus on and meditate on for the whole day. Romans 12:2, change us, Lord. And we just would think about that all through the day. And then Romans 1:12, Lord, help us encourage each other in our faith today. And James 1:5, Father, grant us your wisdom to see life through your eyes. Remember that our God is always there to hear us when we pray, because he is always working for you. You have a copy of these 5-second prayers when you leave today. And so start tonight to pray one of them on the way home this evening. What are things that keep us motivated about praying together? For one thing, it increases our intimacy. God desires us to have oneness in our marriage. The Latin for intimacy means inner. Allowing someone to know the inner you. Think of the word intimacy as four little words. In, to, me, see. Intimacy in any relationship requires pursuit. You don't drift into intimacy. You drift into isolation. Your husband will not be able to meet all of your expectations. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord, and we can rest in Him to work in our husbands' lives. Keep in mind that we are not called upon to be the Holy Spirit in our husband's life. The joy of our relationship and intimacy with the Lord has increased. It opened wider the door to intimacy in our physical relationship. Praying together removes physical roadblocks as we honestly share ourselves spiritually and emotionally.
There are a couple of keys that have helped us to pray. And the first one is to expect trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We have a friend, and his grandmother has a paraphrase of this verse. She says if it's not one damn thing, it's another damn thing. And we found that to really be true. And so the point is, don't be surprised by trouble. Just expect trouble in your life and expect trouble in your marriage. And when it comes, you go to Jesus, the one who has overcome the world and all of the damn things that are going to come up. And the other point to remember is that God is always working. John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and so am I." You know, there's no sleeping with God. He's on duty 24/7 to help us with all of our problems, our marriage problems, and everything else that comes up in life. We can go to Him. And then there's just three simple verses of Scripture that have really helped us in our prayer life. And the first one is be devoted to prayer in Colossians 4:2. And this means that prayer is a priority in our life and in our marriage. And men, you're the ones that need to take the lead in this. You need to initiate prayer with your wife. And the second is in Philippians 6. It just says, pray about everything. And when God says everything, that's what He means. He means that He can handle all of the small things along with the big things that come up in our lives. And then the third scripture was 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just says, pray all the time. You know, that means we can pray anywhere, anytime. And God wants us to stay in constant contact with Him. And, you know, He is the one who holds our lives and our marriage together. And He loves to hear from us. He loves to hear us pray. And He loves to hear us pray as a couple. And we have found that the glue that holds our marriage together is two different things. It's knowing God and praying to God. And those two things have helped us put the wheels back on our marriage and keep the wheels on our marriage when they often come off. But, you know, we just need to remember that Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus is our chief marriage mechanic, and He wants to be each of your chief marriage mechanics also. Let us pray. So, dear Father in heaven, I want to thank You for just each of these couples here tonight. And Father, if there are any husbands and wives that are not walking in the same direction spiritually, we just ask that You would open their eyes and their hearts to the truth of the gospel message, because we know that's the starting point of a Christ-centered marriage. And Father, we just pray that You'd help each couple leave here tonight committed to pray regularly, because You are the one who is holding our marriages together. You put broken wheels back on, and You make our marriages great. Father, help our marriages grow in oneness, in intimacy with You and with each other, for our good and Your glory. And we just ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank You, guys. Thank you.